What's Pentecost, Pastor? Pentecost was the day the church got birthed. And we don't go with programs, but I want you to understand that we're a church. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit is, there's life. God doesn't make evil people good. He makes dead things come alive. Amen. So one last time, even while you're sitting there, let's just give Jesus a big, big hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's Sunday. It's still the day of the Lord. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's good to see you tonight. Just trying to help us get the sound right. We're continuing what I shared this morning on Pentecost. As we continue, I want to welcome every person here today. If it's your first time, welcome. God bless you. Thank you for being with us here. COC, the place to be. We may be a little bit different, but we're just passionate for Jesus. I don't think there is a church on a Sunday. Maybe there's one more other church that's open on a Sunday night. So come on, COC family. There's such an opportunity to reach people for God, to get them to the house of God. A Sunday is a sacred day. Sunday is the day of the Lord. It's not the last day of the week. It's the first day of the week. Set your week alight. Set your week correctly by putting God first and coming to the house of God. Come on, so give yourself a hand for being in church. Yeah. While you are resting, God is busy working on your behalf. God's already been in Monday. God's already in your Tuesday. God's already in your Wednesday, because you've made up your mind. You've purposed to buy out the time and to come to the house of God. You know, when I got saved, whenever the church doors were open, I was there. You couldn't get me away from church. You still can't get me away from church. Okay, obviously I have to be here because I'm the preacher. But before I was the preacher, I loved the church. I loved the house of God. I loved being around Christians. I love worshiping, being in His presence. That's what changes us. I don't want to watch TV on a Sunday night. I don't want to catch up on my homework. I can do that on Saturday. I can do that on Monday. I want to be with the people of God. So let's make Sunday a sacred day. Let's get people to church. There's a lot of people who are caught up in the world, caught up with problems, battles, challenges. They're facing depression. That's why we have these painkillers that we have in our life. Alcohol and drugs and relationships is actually just a painkiller for our loneliness, for our heaviness, for our depression, for that emptiness. God has put an emptiness in us because only God can fill it. And so we put in the wrong substances. We try and fill ourselves. We think we have peace and joy. Only God can fill that place. Only God is supposed to fill that place. That's why it's a special day. I love the evening service. It's exciting. Amen. So I'm glad you're here this evening. We're going to have a good time. Are you ready to have a good time? Are you ready for the Word? Come on, place your hand on your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, we come in agreement. Thank you for the Word to be spoken tonight. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you. We welcome you. Thank you that you move from heart to heart. Touch us. It's Pentecost. You've given us power and the Holy Spirit today. Bypass natural reasoning and understanding and give us revelation tonight. Thank you for every person here that has come, every visitor. Speak to their hearts. Challenge us with your Word, that we may leave this place changed and ready to change our world. We lift up our beautiful city. We pray, Father, let your face shine upon Kimberley. Let people get saved. Let people get filled with God. May they be filled with you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name, and those who agree say amen. Come on, amen. Give him one more big praise. I want to talk to you tonight about lighting a match. Light a match, and I'll get there. You know, as a Christian, as a young Christian, there were some words I had to learn. Now, maybe you have another language at house. Maybe you're Afrikaans. Maybe you Setswana or Zulu. Peri, Kosa, it doesn't matter. But as a young Christian, there's certain words you must learn for your discipleship. There's righteousness. There's justification. There's regeneration. And there's the word sanctification. Now, for some of you that are new and young Christians, this may be different for you. But if you've been saved for a while, this should be basic. This should be obvious. Justification is a simple word that comes from the word justice. If you're either in the law or you've broken the law. And we know God's law, all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. We were all sinners. Amen? You're not holy. Every person could not keep to God's standard. So before we were saved, we were sinners. That was our nature. We break the law. We break the Ten Commandments. But thank God we got saved. Only God can get us saved. Because before we were saved, we weren't justified. We were outlaws. But Jesus came to save us, and then He made us right. So when I'm in right standing with heaven, with my Heavenly Father, like, remember when you were young and you did something wrong and your dad would have to give you a jacks or a hiding, or maybe it was your mother, or maybe at school, you were not in right standing with your principal. You were scared, you were nervous, there was bung. Some of us would put books in our pants because you didn't want to get hurt. You weren't in right standing with the law. You have a traffic fine. You're driving on the highway and the next thing the traffic cop jumps out and you get cold because you, oh my word, I've broken the speed limit. Now I'm going to have a fine. You feel guilty. I'm not in right standing. We are justified by God through His Son Jesus. The only reason why we are justified by God is because Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross for you and for me so that we didn't have to pay the price. God poured out His wrath, His anger, His judgment of sin and the consequences of sin on a sacrifice, on a substitute. It should have been us, but Jesus took the pain. He took the suffering. He took the curse. And so there was an exchange that took place, and from that day we became justified. I'm justified. I can't be justified if I'm not in right standing with God. I'm saying this because many people are not water baptized. They are Christians who aren't baptized. When Jesus Himself comes to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist says, no, you should baptize me. Why must I baptize you? He says, no, let it be done to me to fulfill all righteousness. What was He saying? He's saying, I need to fulfill righteousness. If you're a believer and you've been justified and you've been made righteous, there's one area that you still need in your life to fulfill all righteous, to be totally guilt-free, and that is something that happens in the water baptism. Now, you may have been christened as a baby like myself, Glenn Dorp, it doesn't matter, but you need to get baptized. Jesus said, be baptized. He told him, I must be baptized so that I can fulfill all righteousness. We have a lot of Christians walking around with guilt and shame, and they've never obeyed God. It's a commandment. Jesus said, go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I've just seen this week, I've had the privilege to baptize people again. People who are Christians, they've been saved for long. And they hit this wall. They just, it's like that door I shared with you last week. They couldn't just get through the door. But this week they got baptized. Hallelujah. They could identify with Jesus' death, His burial, and now the power of His resurrection. Now you're going to see change. So we need to be baptized with water to fulfill righteousness, guilt-free. Amen. But then there's another baptism which we want to talk about tonight, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Say, Pastor, what's that? Don't worry, Isaac didn't know that as well a few years ago. But we are Pentecostals, we're charismatics. You must know what you believe. I shared this morning as well, as a young Christian, I grew up in a church, and I don't blame the church, I love the church, great people, but I was taught, if God wants you to pray in tongues, you'll pray in tongues. If God wants to save the world, He'll save the world. Yes, He's sovereign, but He chooses in in this side of the cross to be divine, which means he needs people to go and get preached to people. He needs people to go pick them up and bring them to church. If I believe that God's going to do everything, I'm going to do nothing. My faith is going to be neutralized, passive, and nothing is going to change in my life. The world can go to hell because God's going to must save them. No, the Bible says, how will they get saved unless somebody goes and preaches to them? You with me? If you are taught the whole time the Holy Spirit baptism is not for you, it's for a select few, then you're going to believe it and you're not going to apply faith. And guess what? You're not going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So I, as a young Christian, I had to wrestle. I had to search the scriptures myself. I was so confused. But I thank God that I never quit. I kept on reading the Bible. I kept on asking the Lord. I spoke to people who were baptized. And things changed. The Holy Spirit came. And that was the change. And I want to talk about that. Sitting in a church, and I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, okay, Holy Spirit, if you're real, show me. And I want to show you the scripture. Can we go there? Acts chapter 19. Bump your neighbor, say, are you with us? Your answer is yes. Yeah, ons is hier, pastoor. Acts 19. Now, I want to give you a picture here. So Paul is going around, he's preaching, and he comes to a group of people. Okay, let's read. While Apollos was at Corinth, or Corinthians, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. We all know Ephesus, the book of Ephesians. There he found some disciples, and he asked them, I want you to see this, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked them, but then what baptism did you receive? They said, John's baptism. They replied. Verse 4, Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized in Jesus, under the water. But then it continued, then when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit, I want you to see this evening, the Holy Spirit came on them. And what happened? They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. There were about 12 of them in all. There was a time when they had to be baptized, and then there was a time where God wanted them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, God told the early church, "Don't, before you go, wait, tarry in the upper room to receive the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit." They were 500 people, and we all know they were reduced to 120, because after 10 days, they must have thought, "Nee wat, niks gaan aan hier so nie," and so they said, "We're going." But there were 120 people that remained. They were hungry, they were excited, and the Bible says five of them received the Holy Spirit. No, all 120. Every person in the room who was hungry, who was excited, who said, "Lord, I want to do something with my life, but I'm going to obey your word first. I'm saved. I've been baptized in water, and I receive now. You told me to wait. You told me that I must receive the Holy Spirit." I've shared with you as well. Last Sunday, Pastor Artie gets saved at the altar call. Then his brother, who got saved before him, he goes, tells him, "Go ask the pastor for the Holy Spirit." He just got saved. He still had a hangover. He still smelled like smoke. And he comes afterwards and he tells the pastor, "My brother said I must get the Holy Spirit." So he lays hands on him and he fills him with the Holy Ghost. Listen, we need the Holy Ghost. You are never going to become the man, the woman of God without the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. He has to be honored. He has to be recognized, reverenced, respected. And you cannot be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. Too many people are ashamed of the Holy Ghost. Too many people have been holding back. And I want you to know tonight that God wants you to be full of His Spirit. So I want to use a simple illustration so we can bring it up again. I used it this morning. If you were here this morning, don't worry, it's not the same message. It's totally different. Can we have the light, please? That's why I'm wearing a light bulb today. Bright ideas. So I'm using an illustration about Christianity. I always knew there was more. God wants to fill His church with fire. The church needs fire. A cold world needs the fire of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but you charismatics, you Pentecostals, you people are loud and noisy and stuff like that. You can label us what you want to. One thing is Jesus made it very clear. John came baptizing with water, but the one after him would be Jesus. He would baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I want to talk about that tonight. I want to talk about God's fire. They were in the upper room, and the Bible says they were like tongues of fire on the top of their heads. And all of them were filled, and all of them began to pray in the Spirit. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm praying on my inner man. Jesus said it like this. He said, rivers of living water will flow from your belly. Listen, I want you to know tonight, there's a river that never runs dry. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you. Jesus understood it. The Father understood it. That's why Jesus said, hey, it's good that I go to the Father. Because when I go to the Father, I will send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now, go and wait and tarry. Tarry, which means wait. Wach. Wach bigi langer. Tarry means to dwell. And just always be in a rush. Christianity is not fast food Christianity. God is into patience. 10 days later, they received the Holy Spirit, and everyone was filled with the fire and with the Holy Spirit. But you have to be a conduit. You have to be plugged in. Amen. You're blocking the view here, ma'am. Sorry. We need a camera from the back. I want everybody to see the simple illustration. So there's a plug. There's power at the back here. And here's the wire. We're called to be plugged in. You're called to be a conductor, not a non-conductor. Wood is not a conductor of electricity. Am I right? Plastic is not a conductor. There are a lot of Christians who are plastic. They don't have the Holy Ghost because they're not a conductor. They don't. Their doctrine isn't correct. Now, I'm not judging anybody. I'm sharing. If we want the light to go on, you must understand, then we must be conduits. We must allow the fire of the Holy Ghost to flow through us. That was my challenge as a Christian. I got saved and I'd read the Bible. I'd hear about how these people would prophesy. They would pray in tongues. They would cast out demons. They'd lay hands on the sick. These people would, they were bold. They were unashamed. They were on fire. And I thought, Jesus, help me. The book I'm reading and the life I'm living as a Christian, there's a huge gap here. And that's when the Holy Spirit began to say, you need the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, don't go into the world until you receive the Holy Spirit. And this was me. Maybe this is you tonight. Trying to figure out life, but nothing is working. There's no power. There's no power. And the light bulb is confused. The light bulb thinks he's a soccer ball. The light bulb thinks he's something else. As a Christian, the Bible calls us, you are the light of the world. You're called to shine. Shine your light. So this represents your doctrine, your belief. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you want the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to obey God? Listen, I was an accountant, okay? So my brain would always get in the way. And this is sometimes, it's what blocks the power of God in our lives. But thank God we have the Holy Spirit. Nope, this is going to work now. We need to be conduits. When you're plugged into the Father, you've plugged into the Son, and you're plugged into the Holy Spirit. You do it God's way, not your tradition, not your culture, not what your grandparents taught you, what the Bible teaches. We teach in this church the Bible. Then something happens amazingly. Bam. The light goes on. When you are plugged into the source, which is the Holy Spirit, and you're a conduit, your doctrine is right, your belief is right, the light shines. And that's what you were created to do. Amen. The light bulb on my shirt, it shines. People benefit from the light. Too many people today are walking around without the power. They're not plugged in. You can have the greatest utensil at your house. You can have a fridge. You can have a hairdryer. You can have a television. You can have so many equipment. But if it's not plugged in, it's not going to function. God understood it as well. He said, you need power. He said, don't go until you receive power. The Bible says in Luke 11 verse 13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those whom ask Him? To those who ask Him. You can sit here tonight and say, Father, I ask you for your Holy Spirit. Many of us as Christians, you've already been baptized with the Holy Spirit. But what we need is we're running on empty. You need to say, Father, fill me again. Revive me again. Father, my light is starting to flicker. It's starting to go dim. Jesus, give me the fire. Give me the flame that I can shine brightly on the university campus, on the high school, in the suburbs, in the marketplace. If we don't carry the fire, we don't have the light. If we don't carry God's Spirit, we will get intimidated. We'll get shy. We'll lose our testimony. We'll stop witnessing. We'll become cold and lukewarm. I shared with the example this morning as well. In the winter, have you noticed there's a lot of germs, viruses that go up? The environment that you're on, that you're in, when it gets cold and colder, germs breed in the cold. And it was as if God was telling me as well, it's the same. There's a parallel in the spirit. If a Christian is backslidden and cold, these parasites can come and sit. It's not all the case. Offense, bitterness. We're more susceptible. We are easier exposed to the enemy if we're cold. But if you're on fire, they can't sit on you. A fly won't sit on a hot plate. That's why God wants the church to be on fire. Offense, bitterness, hatred burns out. There's no place for that spirit of division, that hatred, that criticism. The love of God burns in our hearts. So we're called to be a conductor, to allow God's power to move in our lives. I want to talk to you about a match. So if I can get my example here, I hope he's not going to set the building alight here. Now, just like we're called to be a conductor, thank you. He took a smoke break. Now I told him, just come smoke here on stage, please. No, I'm joking. Thank you, Marcus. I'm going to have to zoom in on the camera. You all know matches? You shouldn't know matches. That was a trick question. Ha, ha, ha. I'm joking. So here's a match. Just give it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. There's a match. It's got phosphorus on the end here. It's a flammable, what do you call it? Chemical. And on the side of the box is what we call a strike something. I've forgotten the word. Where you strike the match. And together it creates a spark. And the wood is the flame that keeps it burning. There has to be a spark. There has to be a light. And that's why Paul was sent by God to those people. They were Christians. They loved Jesus. Good people. Goeie mense. But they never had the fire. And the very first thing you ask him, did you receive the fire? What was your baptism? Because obviously he discerned that they were good people, they were nice people, but God doesn't need nice Christians. God needs Christians on fire who can turn the world upside down. Amen. I'm glad you're a nice person, but God doesn't need you to be nice. God needs you to be on fire. God needs you to be effective. And the very first thing he comes to him and says, who baptized you? Under what baptism did you fall? And they says, he says, that's not good enough. Jesus told me to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And so what he does is he lights a match in Ephesus. And that was the start. There were only 12 people. You can go study the church history of Ephesians. There's a whole book about it. Great revival broke out. Why? Because there were 12 people who were on fire for Jesus. There can be 12 students who are on fire on the university campus that can lead a revival. 12 students on the high school that can lead a revival. 12 men, 12 home cells that can lead a revival. All it takes is one match. One spark can change everything. But you need a light. And that's what God does. God lights our spirits. He brings a fire. The fire of God consumes our shame, our weakness. And it empowers us to be what? To be a witness. Not to be a preacher, but to be a witness. As an engineer, as a businessman, as a businesswoman, as a politician, as a student, as a scholar. God lights a match in us so that we don't keep quiet. Yeah, too many quieted Christians. When we are lit with a torch, we run with a flame. If you know the Olympic sport, the Olympics, the great Olympics, there's a runner and he has to run with a torch. Have you seen that? And the torch is not allowed to let the flame go out. It's got to carry the fire. If the flame goes out, they have to quickly give him another torch that has a fire. It's a picture of you and me. As you live your life, don't let your fire go out. Tell your neighbor, don't let your fire go out. You are responsible for your fire. Obviously, as the pastor, I'm responsible to help you, like all of us, to make sure that we carry the fire of Jesus, that the flame is burning bright, that we are passionately in love with Him. Too many people grow cold. Too many people backslide. They serve Jesus today and tomorrow they don't have time for God. They're on fire today and next year, where are they? The fire of God will keep you on the right path. All it takes is a match. Paul understood the revelation of a runner. In 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. How did he keep the faith? He kept the torch alive. You have to be on fire. You must have your light shining. And we live in a modern world, so we have a battery at the back here, and we have wires, and we have, thanks to Thomas Edison, we have a light bulb. But back in the day, they didn't have a light bulb. In Jesus' day, they had fire, and they had oil. They had a flint. So all it takes is one little match. Will you light it? The heart say no. This little match can cause a lot of chaos in this church. One little match can start a fire, a wildfire across this whole city. We've seen it in America. We've seen it there on the East Coast, in the Eastern Cape. Fires have been burning there a few years ago. Neisner, Cape St. Francis area, wildfire just blew. And then the wind just comes and just fuels it. That's what God does on Pentecost. God wanted to get the gospel out. God wants people not to go to hell. He wants them hell. He wants them to go to heaven. So what does He do? He gives us one of the most precious gifts, one of the most powerful forces on the planet today, the Holy Spirit. He baptizes us with fire. He helps us keep the flame of Jesus alive in our hearts. He pours it out. He pours it out. And the Bible says they were like tongues of fire on their heads. You know my testimony, I was a stutterer. I couldn't talk to two people in front of a crowd. The day I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water started to flow out of my mouth. I can pray for hours now. Romans 8, if you study it, read Romans 8. It speaks about how we pray and we do not know what to pray for. So the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, with the fire, the longest I could pray was 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. You eventually run out of ideas. Oh God, I pray for my mother, I pray for my father, I pray for me. I pray for the girl I'm going to marry. No, sorry, you guys pray like this. Oh Jesus, give me the woman that I'm going to marry. They pray for revival. Oh God, send revival. Oh God, give me a girlfriend. God, give me with a, help me to pass my exams. God, help me to make it through this week. The fire of God will help you to burn, to pray for hours and hours. The fire of God will keep you alive. People won't just say you're going through a Christian phase. People will see there's something different. You set yourself alight and people come watch you. Light another match. Don't set the house on fire. Darcy, come on, that's what we do. It just takes a little match. You just need a flint, a strike part there to see the fire of God burn. Amen. Thank you, Marcus. Now don't go smoke at the black piece. I'm joking. I know you don't smoke. Come on, we got to carry the fire of God. Keep the flame alive. Set us ablaze. Run with the torch. God said, run for me. Run for me, or God has to find another. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 to 7 says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lewis, and your mother, Eunice. And I'm convinced it is in you, Timothy. For this reason, I want to remind you to fan into flame. Keep the fire of God alive in your spirit. Paul is telling a young Timothy, he's mentoring you, he's saying, listen, I've seen the faith of your family. It's generational. It's passed down. But you got to keep your faith. You got to keep the fire alive. You got to fan the flame into you, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul would come and start the match. He would put his hands upon the people and they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and they would pray in tongues. He did that to Timothy. He did it to the disciples in Ephesus in Acts 19. Sometimes we just need a contact point. Sometimes we just need somebody with faith, somebody who has the Holy Spirit to just lay hands on you for you to receive the fire of the Holy Ghost. And if you're really hungry tonight, we can pray for you. If you're not hungry, don't worry. We won't. On Sully. Because you have a will. You have a choice. You can stay on or you can stay off. You have the switch. But one thing I made up my mind as a Christian, I said, Lord, I want to run for you. I want to run for you. There's something you've put in me, Jesus. You saved me for a purpose. Make me a firebrand. Put your stamp on my life. I don't want to be ashamed about you, Jesus. Make me a Peter. Before he was Peter, his name was Simon. Simon means reed. He was a sellout. He denied Jesus. He was embarrassed about God. But the day the fire of God fell on the day of Pentecost, Peter, who was the rock, which Jesus called, you're going to be rock now. You're not going to be reed. You're going to be rock. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost with the fire of God. This bungbrook, this guy who was shy and intimidated by man, the fear of man broke off his life. He stands up and he starts to preach, and 3,000 people get saved that very day. Hallelujah! That's a man on fire. We need preachers who are on fire. We need students who are on fire, who are ashamed of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but it's the power of God unto salvation. We need people on fire in Kimberley. The world has too many lukewarm, backslidden, cold, unattractive, lazy Christians. It's time the church gets the fire, because when I tell you what, when the fire touches you, oh baby, you're going to start running like you've never ran before for the gospel. You don't, because a man on fire doesn't care what he looks like. The song goes, a man on fire doesn't care what people say about him. A man on fire runs for God. You're going to stand before God one day. You're going to give an account. It's time God touches you. Time God touches you. I'm taking time out tonight to talk to many people of you, myself included. I said, God, I want the fire like never before. I'm a charismatic. I believe in tongues. I had to work through the doctrine. I had to work through all the fear and the lies and the and I had to find myself in the scripture. And when I realized it, but this is for me. And I saw so many examples in the Old Testament, New Testament. I said, Father, thank you. And I gave up this wire and I took the right wire. Some of you are there. You're asking God. And I tell you what, God will hear you. And your light will shine. And everything will change. You'll live life with purpose. You'll wake up in the morning with purpose in your spirit. God will speak to you about your future. God will tell you where you need to go. The Bible says in Isaiah 50, morning by morning, God will wake you up. He will give you the tongue of the learned that you may hear what God is speaking to you, and you will be able to speak a word in season into people. You will be a conduit. You will allow God's power to flow through you. You will be used by God. Not just send a random scripture. Say, I'm praying for you. Akbet for you. No, you can actually engage in a community. You can actually make a difference. You can actually be a witness of what God has done in your life. You can actually be the salt that the Bible speaks about. We are not Christians who are meant to just blend in, be nice. Nice is over. Come, I read a scripture to you. Isaiah 60, the Bible says, please go there. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, it says, arise. Let's just leave this light on. Can you all see the light? Do you see the light? I saw the light, and the light came free. The Bible says, arise, shine. Kimberly, Christian. That's why you came to church today. God drew you to the light. Maybe you walked in here and you thought, oh, this is interesting. Maybe you had your opinion about it, but God's got it. God's got your attention out tonight. Because you want, we are all attracted to the light. Don't change the flow. Stick to the flow, please. God, we are attracted to the fire. Moses was in the backside of a desert. He was backslidden. He was out of the will of God. But God got his attention how? Through the burning bush, which was fire. The fire of God. And he's looking at this bush, but it's not being consumed. The fire of God doesn't burn you. You're not going to get hurt. You're not going to get judged. This is the fire of God. It's not the fire of hell. It's the fire of the Holy Spirit. It cleanses. It makes us holy. It makes us pure. It gives us power. It gives us a boldness. It'll give you an ability to raise your hand. Some of you are so shy, you've never raised your hand in church. You do that dinosaur. What's the dinosaur with the shawl hands? The T-Rex. Some of you are T-Rex Christians. Julle kom kerk toe, maar julle kan nie julle hande op lig nie. And I'm not judging you. Because I was there as well. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But I want to tell you, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you're free, man. Yes, amen, you're free. Him who the Son sets free is free indeed. I don't care what they say. I understand I must be smart, but I'm free, man. I can worship God. I don't need a praise and worship team. I can go out on a field and I can engage with my Father. The Bible starts to make sense. The author of the Holy Spirit, the author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will speak to you again in a special way, in a new way. Some of you are hungry. Some of you know that there is more, but it's your tradition that's keeping you back. Your culture. Maybe what's been taught to, or hand-me-downs. Hand-me-downs. You know hand-me-downs? You get clothes from your older brother, your older sister. Hand-me-downs. It's the same when it comes to the Bible. Our great fathers taught our fathers who taught us. This is how Christianity must be. And there's nothing wrong with that. We thank God if you come from a Christian home, that's fantastic. But I want you to know the Bible should take preference over your culture, over your tradition. Why? Because Jesus said it very clearly. He said in Mark chapter 7 verse 13, you nullify, you cancel out the word of God. The power by the tradition you have been handed down. And you do so in many such matters. God doesn't want us to be caught up in our tradition. He wants us to have a hunger, a fire. As your pastor, I want you to be serving God all the days of your life. Till you're 90, that your grandkids and maybe your great-grandkids are serving Jesus as well. That you may say, like Paul said, I've run my race, I've kept my torch. keep your fire. Keep your fire. If you want the fire of God, I'm really trusting tonight. If you want prayer, I'm going to pray for you tonight. I'll lay my hands on you. Not because I'm special, but because I'm just a contact point. Because I made up my mind, I want to shine for Jesus. Amen. We want to shine for Jesus. We want to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Amen. You don't want to be Christians who walk around on eggshells trying to be politically correct, trying to blend in and fit in. Don't be a chameleon. When you were these people, you changed color. When you were these people, you changed color. You changed your opinion. God wants you to be a fire brand. Tonight, God wants to stamp you. God wants to put His Holy Spirit in your life. It's Pentecost. We don't do this every Sunday, but we have to now and again. So, hey, listen, you need the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nice Christians, they get along with everyone. Nice smiles, little discernment, don't know what they believe. A true Christian has a depth, he has a revelation, has a conviction. Can you defend your Christianity? I shared this morning, the CRL Commission is a commission that is being written now right in Parliament. It's going through, and they're giving the church and the public the opportunity to comment, but they want to control the church, the state, the government wants to control the church. It's not, it's wrong. It's Satan. It's a plot of the devil to keep the church controlled and manipulated. They will decide who the pastor can be. Do you understand? It's a spirit. If you don't have the fire, you will be deceived. Jesus spoke more in the last days. He says, be careful of deceiving spirits. They will say they'll come with this, I am Jesus, or they'll come with this great idea. But it's a deceptive spirit to deceive, to control, to manipulate. In the last days, the Bible says there will be perilous times. You need to be alive with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Arise, shine, as the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 60, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. We are living in days where there's darkness. The light of God is starting to dim. The flame is starting to flicker. It's about to go out. That's what happened in the days of Samuel. Before Samuel, the great prophet, his predecessor was a priest called Eli. The Bible says in those days, that prophet, the Bible says the word of God was rare and the candle of the Lord was going out. It became dim. And there was abominations taking place. The high priests were sleeping with women in the temple. The moral climate and thermometer was going backwards because there was no light. There was no prophetic spirit. They had given in to a lazy priest who never corrected and brought the light. And so Eli died. He lost the priesthood. And God had to raise up a young boy, Samuel. You all know the story of Samuel. Samuel's sleeping and he hears his word. Yeah, he hears this word, Samuel. So he wakes up. I shared it the other Sunday night. And he goes to Eli. I said, did you call me? He says, no, I never called you. Go back to bed, boy. So the young boy goes back to bed. Eli, Brian, whatever your name is, God's calling you tonight. God is calling you. He's calling your name. He's calling you to step into God's plan for your life. Because He needs the light to shine. The candle of the Lord can't go out. So the Bible says there's darkness that's covering the earth and deep darkness the people. We're living in the days where there's dark deepness on people. We are in the end zone. But God promises us, as the darkness gets darker, hallelujah, but the Lord will arise over you and His glory shall be seen upon you. The light is going to shine brighter. The fire of God is going to get more intense. Not everybody likes the fire because it's intense. It's hot. that I'd rather be hot, like Jesus says in Revelation. He says, I'd rather have you hot or I'd rather have you cold. But this middle ground, too many people on the fence. The most dangerous place to be on the road is in the middle. You know, you're either for Jesus or you're against Jesus. You're either righteous or you're not righteous. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're either on fire or you're not on fire. There's no middle ground. He says, I'd rather vomit you out than have you lukewarm Christian. So come on, in this church, we are going to be on fire. Come on, can you stand to your feet, please? My time is up. Just give Jesus a hand if you've learned or received anything tonight. Come on, just give him some praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Set this church ablaze, Lord. Set us on fire. Because if God starts a fire, nobody can put it out except us. A little spark can bring a whole difference. I don't care, you can be the strongest guy on the planet. You can be an alpha male macho man. Praise God for them. Hallelujah. We need men who are on fire. We need some strong men in our city. Fathers that are on fire for Jesus. Mana, Bulla, alpha males. We need some men. And then we need some women who are on fire as well. That'll stand up and say, we're not just going to let the men be on fire. The ladies are also going to be on fire. Then you see a city change the right side up. Oh, Kimberly, you don't know what's coming your way. Men and women are standing up for Jesus. Boldly, unashamedly. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands up in heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes and cleanses us of all sin. Thank you. And every person here that is already saved. Those that are not saved, we're going to lead them in a short moment. But for every person here today that's a Christian, you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you right now, just in a few moments, to say, to just thank Him for the blood of Jesus. Thank Him. Receive it now. Apply it. Plead the blood of Jesus over your life, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Sanctify your people, Lord, by the blood of Jesus. Come on, just thank Him for the blood of Jesus. What can wash you? What can wash you? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, just thank Him. Thank Him tonight. Thank Him for the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listen, when Jesus died on the cross, it was the perfect sacrifice. He took away every sin. You're standing here today, you're feeling guilty, you're feeling shame. I want you to know the blood of Jesus washes us and cleanses us. We plead the blood of Jesus over the church. It's very nice. Just keep it playing. Volume up. Just receive. Thank Him right now for the blood of Jesus. God's going to move in a moment. God's going to pour out His Spirit. But first, receive and acknowledge the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus is greater. It speaks of a covenant. Washes. It's the most precious commodity on this planet, the blood of Jesus. Just thank Him for it. Do you receive it by faith? Thank you, Father. Baptize them tonight. Now, once we have the blood, in the Old Testament, the high priest would first put the blood on the sacrifice. I mean, he'd put it on his toe, on his thumb and his ear. We put blood. The blood of, this is Old Testament. They take the blood of the animals and put it on his ear, on his thumb, on his right toe. And then he would apply the oil, special oil, valuable oil. He'd put the oil on top of the blood, on the toe, on the thumb and the ear. It speaks about a lot of things I don't have time to get into now. This is not a doctrine teaching. I'm going in depth about this. But if we have the blood, then the Holy Spirit is us. Jesus said, receive Jesus, repent of your sins, and be baptized, and receive the gift from the Father. Hallelujah. Close your eyes, just raise your hands. If you can pray in the Spirit, I want you to just pray in the Spirit right now. Shila Ramasumondo. Holy Spirit, fill this place tonight, like on the day of Pentecost. Come on, if you can pray in the Spirit, just pray in the Spirit. If you can't pray in the Spirit, ask God tonight to touch you, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Tonight you're leaving with a flame. Tonight you're leaving with the torch of the fire of the Holy Ghost. You're going to be on fire. God's going to stamp you tonight as a firebrand. You're going to run for God. You're going to do mighty works. You're going to expand His kingdom. You're going to run for God. You're no longer going to sleep. You're no longer going to slumber. But you're going to run for God. Come on, just pray in the Spirit. Kirama Simon, the Lord of Eshabende. Flip the switch tonight. If you never believed, start believing that the Holy Spirit is for every person. Joel chapter 2, the Bible says God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Come on, this is a holy moment. If you're standing here tonight and you are hungry and you believe it's for you and you can't pray in the Spirit, you can't pray in tongues, you've not been baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you want us to pray for you, then I want you to quickly come down. Watch the steps, but come down and just line up in the aisle. Let's just make sure there's space that I can pray for them. Just come. Come. I'm not going to pray for everybody. Only those who are hungry who want to come. Just come. Come. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Oh, I feel a stirring in my spirit. Hallelujah. This is what I saw early on in the week. God is going to touch you tonight. This is the baptism. We baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son, and tonight we're going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Mark 16, verse 15, 16 and 17 says, these signs shall follow. These signs shall follow those who are sent. They will go out, they will cast out demons in my name. They will speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Come on, we're going to see a move of God in our city. Revival, 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 revival. There's too much at stake. People are going to hell. Too much is at stake. Some of you need to stop playing games with your life. God has called you to be a witness, to be a businessman, to finance the gospel. God has called you, God has saved you, so you can bring revival to a community. Come on, hallelujah. If you're standing in front here, I want you to focus on Jesus. Have a hunger, have an expectation. Be that second electrical wire that's going to get plugged in tonight. I'm just going to touch you, but it's Jesus that's touching you. Jesus is going to step out tonight by faith. And as I touch you, I want you to open up your mouth and say, Jesus, pour out your Spirit upon my life. Give me words. Give me an unction. Immersed. Immersed. Thank you for the rain to fall here tonight. Just keep this nice and strong. Come on, if you can pray in the Spirit, just keep on praying in the Spirit. somebody I've prayed for, just raise your hands. Father, we've touched, we've laid hands. Thank you for the deposit yet this evening. Thank you for their faith, their contact. Thank you for a deposit in the Spirit. You've touched so many tonight. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Tonight, tomorrow, as they speak, let rivers of living water flow from their belly. Let them receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Your word says that if us being evil fathers, if our sons would ask us for a bread, would we give them a snake? How much more our Heavenly Father, if we ask Him for the Holy Spirit? Just ask Him tonight again as we've prayed. Say, Holy Spirit, come and be, come and live in me. Heavenly Father, I ask you for the precious Holy Spirit. I receive it by faith. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, now you just got to activate it. You've just got to allow. Father, Shire Berabasabon. Kia Masabonu. Thank you, Father. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand tonight. Praise the Lord. All you needed was a contact point. Do you believe it's for you? Dis nie 'n rympie wat ons sê nie. It's not a rhyme. It's not gibberish. It's a deposit. You know, to learn a language takes years. But in an instant, God just gives us the Holy Spirit. The Bible says it's the language of angels. You have it tonight. You've received it by faith. Now you walk it out. Please, if you haven't been discipled, you must come speak to us. Come on, let's give them a hand as they make their way back to their seats. Our service is about to close, but please don't leave. The most important part is, while everybody's going back to their seat, the most important question is, are you saved? Are you born again? Is jy gered? Is there a day in your life where you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Don't let your pride hold you back. Pride kept me back from serving God in high school. I only got saved after high school. But you're standing here today. I want you to know your life is precious. I'm a pastor. We do a lot of funerals. People pass away like this. I've done funerals for young people. I've done funerals for old people. Because it's real. Heaven is real. And so is hell. Hell was never created for you and for me. It was punishment for Satan, for Lucifer and his demons and his rebels as an act of judgment. But Satan, through his cunningness, deceived Adam. And we know the fall of man. But Jesus made a way out. He sent his son. The Father sent Jesus. Whoever would call upon him, you will not die, but you will be in heaven. Somebody said today, I was listening, he says, the biggest thing that scares him in hell is not the pain, is not the gnashing of teeth, the constant burn and the smell and the sulfur and the fear. The biggest thing that he fears about hell is that this beautiful God that you would meet at the white judgment throne, this loving, merciful, beautiful God, you will no longer be with him. Hell is a place where God is not. You don't want to play with your life. You want to get serious as a believer. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, nobody moving around. Let's respect this moment. We're about to close the service. We've gone a little over time. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying. You're standing here today. If you were to die today, I'm not saying you will, but if today was your last day, do you know that you know that you would go to heaven? Is there a day in your life where you publicly accepted Jesus, or have you just, well, I'm a Christian? That's religion. That's like sitting in a garage and saying, I'm now become a car. Like the guy goes to church, now I'm a Christian. It's not about whether you come from a Christian home. It's not about if you read your Bible, you pray. It's about, have you received forgiveness of your sins? Have you repented? And have you allowed Jesus Christ into your life? If you haven't, then allow me the privilege, the greatest joy, to pray with you tonight. The prayer that I prayed 20 plus years ago. It's a prayer of salvation. Allow me the privilege to pray with you without leaving this place. God is busy knocking at the door of your heart. You can feel it. You know, God praat met jou. There's a voeling in your gees. There's a stirring in your heart. God has got your attention, and He won't let you go because He loves you too much. Don't wrestle between your head and your heart. Listen to your heart today. God has a great plan with your life. You walked in here today not by accident. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you say, I'm not sure where I'm going to go, but I want to know where I go. I want to be with Jesus. I want to go to heaven. Then please allow me the privilege to lead you in a simple prayer this morning, evening. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if that is you, then just boldly, unashamedly, forget the person next to you. I want you to slip up your hand. On the count of three, I want you to raise it up like heaven is watching and witnessing and celebrating. One, two, three. Just slip it up high. Thank you. God bless you. Donkey, donkey. Thank you. At the back, I see those hands. Thank you. In the middle. Thank you. At the back. On my right-hand side, thank you. Come on, there's a battle between your head and your heart. Don't be like me. My pride got in the way for many years. Finally, I surrendered. Thank God I was still alive. Thank God I still had time. You never know. This is not to put fear on us, but hey, man, leave this place. Leave this place knowing that you've made right with God. One last time, thank you. You can put your hands down. For those of you that haven't raised your hands, why don't you slip it up high? Maybe you once served God, but you've grown cold. You've lost your fire. You backslid. But tonight you want to make a recommitment. You want to be on fire for Jesus again. All of you, please, I want you to raise your hands then. And allow me to pray with you tonight for a new beginning, a fresh start. God bless you. Bye, donkey. Thank you. Many hands. Why don't you look at me, family? We're going to close the service. I need you to do one more thing for me, please. Every one of you beautiful people, maybe you didn't even raise your hand, but all of you that raised your hand, please, make your way to the nearest aisle and just come meet me here. This is the altar. It's a place of surrender. Just come. Just come. You can come now as we sing a song. Let's cheer them on. Don't be shy now. Don't worry about the person next to you. Just come. All you beautiful people that raised your hand, just come. I want to pray with you. There's too many of you, I can't come to you. Please, come down. Come and meet me here. Turn to your neighbor, say, if you want to go, I'll come with you. Listen, I sense there are more people. The arsenal is quite young. There's more of you. Come, please. Listen to the Holy Spirit. God is calling you. It's the greatest decision of your life. The day you're born, the day you discover what you were born for. Come, there's more of you. That's north. That's near. Come, yellow. Please. I plead with you by the Holy Ghost to come. Come. Come on, make a stand for Jesus tonight. Just come, just come. Let's cheer them on. You can be 12, you can be 30, you can be 40, you can be 45, you can be 50, 60, 70, doesn't matter. Just come, just come. One more thing. Can we all please, respectfully, if you are able, can we, everybody, please stand to your feet. Please, you may be a visitor here tonight. I'm asking you, please, to every person, to please stand to your feet. Thank you. I want you to please ask yourself this question. God has a beautiful plan for your life. And I know it can be intimidating as well to come to a church to make a stand and stuff. So I'm going to ask you one thing, please, while you're standing. If you know that you know that you know before the Lord that you are saved and your life is made right, you are righteous, if you die, you'll go to heaven and my job is done there. Then I want you to be seated. But if you're not sure, if you don't know where you're going to go, you're not 100% sure, you hope you're going to go to heaven, but you're not 100%, then I want you to remain standing. But if you know that you know that you know, you have a knowing that you are saved, then just quietly sit down. And if you're not sure, please, respectfully, just remain standing. Can I ask all you wonderful people that are still standing, if you're not sure, can we clap for you? And can you please come join these wonderful people here? Come on, let's just cheer them on. It's not to embarrass you. It's the greatest decision of your life. A big hand. People are getting saved. Populating heaven, plundering hell. That's the cause of Christ. This is why he died on the cross. Come on, if you're still sitting there, we wait for you. Come. We're clapping for you. Heaven's clapping for you as well. Heaven stands at attention when one makes a decision. What a privilege it is to pray with you. I'm going to ask all of you, please listen carefully. I want you to pray this prayer, but I want you to say it loud enough that you can hear your own words, because it's your prayer. It's not my prayer, it's your prayer. Say it loud enough, make it yours. Bible says we believe with the heart and we confess with the mouth. Ons glo met die hart en ons bely met die mond. Unto salvation. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So because it's a hard thing, I want you, if you can, place your hand on your heart, and I want you to say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I repent of all my sins, and I acknowledge publicly before heaven and hell, and before this congregation, that I ask you to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for a new beginning. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came from heaven to die on a cross. You went to hell. You conquered the grave, and on the third day, the Father resurrected you. You were born of the Virgin Mary. You came by the Holy Ghost. You were birthed by the virgin birth. And because of that, you were holy. You were the child of God, slain on the cross. And I put my faith tonight and all the days of my life in you, Jesus. Be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.